But we have unfinished business. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So we said, if he's with us always, we need to ask ourselves, where he is? Where is he? And so far, I think we have answered the question. Right? We've answered the question. Are you with me? Is there an issue?
So why is there?
Alright, so we answered the question of where he is. He's in the candle, right? The red one. Okay. My bad. The blue one. Eh? The only blue candle. He's not there. Okay, what about the mantles? He's not there. Okay, maybe I was mistaken. What about on the mountains? Eh? He's not there. You went to check? Okay, what about holy water? Is that palm wine? No, I'm not looking for palm wine. Are you okay, guys? What about in the bread? Is it there? So where is he? I didn't get that one very well. The people at the back, I didn't understand. Where is he? Oh, you're not sure. Nobody's saying. He's where he is. Where is he? So he dwells in us, right? We've seen that. Is he in the temple? Depends on what you are saying. Because we are his temple, amen. And we saw the temple. And what does that tell you? It means that God intends for us to live supernaturally. Jesus did not leave us with a picture of himself. He didn't leave us with a bottle of oil for the entire world. He didn't leave us with a bottle of oil for the entire world to be sharing. He didn't leave us with bread. He didn't leave us, what else? Like again, he has risen. Something like that. He didn't leave us with what else? With mantles. He gave us his spirit. That means he intends for us to live a supernatural life or to lead a supernatural life. I am with you always, verse 20. And by that, he is with us by his spirit, right? I was listening to Reagan before I just stepped up, before I came inside. And it's a 1960 something teacher. Don't worry how I got it. And he said something. He said, the indwelling affords us access. So if he is with us always by his spirit, listen very well, that indwelling affords us access. Say access. It affords us access. I'm going to show you. Don't forget, we don't have much time. Like I said, we have unfinished business from morning to afternoon. He affords us special access that is not common to mankind. By that indwelling, we have inside information. We have inside information. If you look at that Acts 2 experience that we have looked at throughout this meeting, even preparing for this meeting, you discover that there were people around who did not know what was going on. Right? The 120 were gathered on Pentecost. But you know, there were more than 120 people in that environment, right? And they heard them speaking tongues. And so, about 3,000 more were around. But only 120 people were speaking in tongues and interpreting their tongues. Access. Even though it's happening in a specific geographical location, it still excludes people who are not the temple of God. So, being the temple of God, the indwelling, affords us that access to what God is saying. Suddenly, there came a mighty rushing wind, a sound from heaven, like of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were seated. Access. Filled the house where they were seated. They were not the only ones there. At least we know that 3,000 people were saved afterwards. But you know what? The indwelling gives us a key. And tonight you must use that key. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 16. We were there. I don't know what session now, but I know we were there. What session was that? Okay. That's how it's meant to be. You open it so much that you don't know which session. Matthew 16. So I said, The indwelling gives us access. Verse 13. Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and he asked the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I've told you, the implication runs deep. Who do men sing that I am? Something like that. Who do men pray that I am? So sometimes, what's that one? What's that song that I was not very pleased with in the morning? Ajikan Lukokwa. Who do men sing that I am? You are terrible. Something like that. So terrible in your ways. Whatever you're saying, I don't understand. I remove my hands from the terrible. I thought we've sang the song before. You are awesome. So why would you leave awesome? I want to know. You left awesome. You left, you are beautiful. You are wonderful. You are faithful. What are all the good things? And you chose, you are terrible. Why? And if you ask now, they will take you to Moses. But Moses told us that he was never in the earthquake. Elijah told us he was never in the fire. So how is he terrible now? Someone else is terrible. Remember, Satan provoked David? Huh? The anger of the Lord? Huh? Sometimes you attribute to God what the devil has done. And the devil would be pleased with that. How can you say it's terrible? You sing one time. You are merciful. Give me, what's the song I sang earlier on? Huh? Come and see the Lord is good. And you are also singing, you are terrible. Which one are you taking? Amen. I need to realize. I just want to sit with one. If it's terrible, let's know it's terrible now. Hallelujah. And I don't know how you're comfortable serving a terrible God. Something like that. You say he's merciful. His mercy endures forever. And before we know it, you say something else. Who do men say that I am the Son of Man am? Who do they sing that I am? Who do they pray that I am? Father, all my enemies, I use their blood to bath. Now you're laughing. That's like 3 hours prayer. Their blood is mine. Die. Die. Just in slow motion, die before. Yes, die. Yes, die. That one is terrible. That one is likeliness of death. I say die. Once he's asking someone grab pillar, it's a serious business. But you can't say someone should die in the name of Jesus. Because that name Jesus means he will save his people. His name shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. He shall save his people from their sin. So how can you say die in the name of the person that saves? He's going to do something else. Who do men say that I am? And of course they gave him answers. Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah. Or any of the prophets. Then they say, who do you say that I am? Amen. That's a question to you too tonight. Who do you say that I am? And Simon answered and said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. We explained that in the morning, right? What does it mean, the Son of the living God? What event does that allude to? The resurrection. The Son of the God who is alive. It alludes to the resurrection. You are Christ of the one who would never die or who would not remain dead. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And immediately Jesus says something. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say, you are Peter, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Can we read verse 19 together, everybody? That's not everybody. Everybody want to go. And I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Get that? I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. When you see heaven and earth together, that is what? That is the temple, right? The temple is God and man in one place. Exodus 25 verse 8 to 9. Build me a sanctuary that I might dwell among my people. Was that not why Moses built the tabernacle? So that God can dwell among his people. We have seen that from yesterday. No, from this morning. The temple is God and man in one place. Heaven and earth. divinity and humanity. Solomon built the temple, but God was never in there. Nehemiah, that one was destroyed. Nehemiah built another one and Ezra together. God was not there. Then Jesus came and we beheld his glory. Amen. The word now tabernacled among us. Interesting. Jesus comes and says, upon the resurrection, you will have the keys, access. You would have access to heaven and earth. That means information that is considered heavenly will be yours. That means realities that are considered heavenly are yours. Upon the resurrection, events that are considered heavenly are yours. Because you now have the keys of heaven and earth. There was a sampling of that key right there. Look at verse 17. Say, I have access to heaven and earth. Yeah, you do. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but by my Father who is in heaven. Guess what? Peter was just gisting. He was answering questions. Nothing special. Is there anything that happened? Did he have to go and swim? Did he speak in tongues? By answering questions, Jesus said, listen very well. What he just said now is an heavenly information. Flesh and blood did not reveal to you. You didn't know this by experience. You didn't know this because you heard it from somewhere. And so what does that tell you? It means that right now and right here, we can have information that are heavenly. Information that are not revealed by flesh and blood. We can know things supernaturally. Amen. You can know things that is not by your experience. You know, I used to give this very funny example. There was this brother like that in Ibadan, and those years. And wanted to give a psalm. Remember that actually happened like 3 times. 2 times for that same brother. The first time, everybody decided to let him go. We thought, did not quickly catch up with tongues. So he quickly found one melody from the back pocket. I've forgotten, I think he used one of Two Faces' song. The other one was, I believe in your name. God, that's fine. This popular one. African Queen. After speaking in tongues, everybody, let's give a sound. I've forgotten what he said. Sincerely, I've forgotten what he said. But something around, you are the king of all this. He's my eternal king. And everybody thought, what's happening here? And he wanted to even give a verse to the psalm. From the same, why are you thinking that we did not know it? That's flesh and blood. Amen. The revelation that comes by the Spirit is not what man told you. We have the Spirit of God. We are charismatic, true and true. Amen. I know some folks do, I'll be calling your phone number. I don't need to call your phone number. What do I want to do? What edification would you calling your phone number bring? I don't mind whose toes I'm stepping on. There's someone here, 010. What's that? Say your account number. So one brother like that, he came to me and said, he called my phone number. How did he know it? I said, you registered for the event. He just needs to cram like 3 phone numbers. Eventually, he found out that the pastor was a false one. If you register for the event, I can be very good with numbers. At the time, I had 3 credit cards and I know all the numbers. I know all the details. The 16 figures, there's 3 at the back. I know everything. I don't buy things with my credit card online. You know, right? I know it's by heart. So, what's your own number? 11 digits. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say 16 people's own. So imagine you come here. There's someone here. 081-8940-419. Hey! Go, shut up. God is in that church. Yeah. But it's flesh and blood. Amen. That's not by the Father. You don't go and look at someone's Facebook page. Then go back to 2016. I'm giving you some hidden under the carpet. 2016, you ain't gonna look at he was in relationship with 2016. What happened? People are saying, I accept my condolence. We now lost. There's someone here. 2016, you lost. That is not by the Spirit. That is flesh and blood. Amen. You don't have to put into gimmicks. The Spirit of God has it. Amen. There's access. Say access. Access that is not by flesh and blood. So don't ignore the supernatural. You know, in the afternoon I told you, I said, because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and that the Spirit of God dwells in you, then that means you can manifest the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Is that not what we all agree to? And we saw it in the Word. That you can manifest the 9 gifts of the Spirit. It's not beyond you. It's within your reach. It's within your reach. It's within your reach. I've seen 7-year-olds walk in the things of the Spirit. I'm saying it. 7. And we're all listening and writing. It's within your reach. And I've seen 70, 80 years old manifest the things of the Spirit. I think Brogan was over 85 when he passed. Amen. It's not for the old, it's not for the young, it's for every believer in Christ. Amen. I have access. Tonight, I have access to information. I don't walk by the flesh. I don't walk by the mind. I walk by the Spirit. So we have access. So observe. Peter had revelation from heaven, and it was just by just this thing. So don't neglect what a believer is saying to you. No matter how passive it is. I have learned over the years. I got born again some days ago. But I've learned over the years to listen to what anybody that has the Spirit of God has to say. Sometimes it's foolish. Amen. Some people just say some nonsense then. Well, you know what? I'll first listen to you. Because God speaks through His Spirit. You are never going to hear a voice from the cloud. I'm saying it 101 times again. All these angels caught on camera. I don't have time for that one this night. I think we'll look at the charismatic ministry again properly. Probably by December. Amen. Look at it properly. What is not charismatic? Catching angels on camera about. You can't talk to me. I know he's editing. And, say, angel be like pillar of salt. Angel beside the pastor. And I pointed out the editing. Hallelujah. But it's fine. But Peter had revelation from heaven by just gisting. Let me tell you, when the Spirit gets to moving, the church does not have to scatter. I know a lot of us grew up thinking that when the Holy Ghost is moving in a particular place, everywhere will be scattered. That can happen. We can make it happen now. Amen. Have we not done that many times before? It depends on how we want to flow. But to think that every time the Spirit of God is moving, if you break chair after the Holy Ghost is done, I'll not disturb you. When the Holy Ghost, I will just cut your trouser. Say, well, Pastor, it's still part of edification. This time around, it's accounts you want to edify. Amen. Don't ignore the supernatural for the spectacular. He's not in the earthquake. He's in the voice. We actually can move by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit is within our hearts. He's not in the chair. He's not in scattering. He is in our hearts. He is in my heart. And if you believe and you walk in that reality tonight, you will have access. You have information. Tonight. You have information. Tonight. You know things supernaturally. Tonight. You see things supernatural. Tonight. You say things supernatural. God's Spirit is effective. Through you. You are functioning and flowing with the things of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit are yours. The things of the Spirit are your things. They are within your reach. They are your commonplace. In the name of Jesus. So we said there are 9 gifts. 9 gifts for us to fellowship together with. I used to refer to, and we learned this from Brogan, the Holy Ghost meeting is like a party. Say party. You've been to parties before? It's like a party. You have to dance. I don't mean that you have to dance here. You have to participate. Nobody likes a guy that sucks at one corner in a party. You have to come to the center. Amen. It's a party. No wonder Paul will refer it and liken it to being drunk with wine. Amen. Because we actually listen very well. You know, I told you something. I said the mind is a slow learner. I don't remember when I said that. Was I in believers meeting or before believers meeting? Oh, it's before. Apologies. I said the mind is a slow learner when it comes to the things of the spirit. That means your spirit is way ahead, your mind is trying to catch up. And that's why it's easier for you to speak in tongues first before interpretation comes. If you find someone who just can prophesy on the spot, that happens. I can just go and say, you know, the power of God is at work in your life, in your ministry. And in the coming days, you're going to see the hand of the Lord much more than you've ever seen. You're going to have a double portion of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have a double portion of what the power of God can do. Now, I did not have to speak in tongues to do that because I have spoken in tongues a lot more before this meeting. I mean, before this session. So my mind is already up. It's catching up. The mind is a slow learner. And what you ought to now do in a Holy Ghost meeting is to exercise your mind to catch up fast. That means as you're speaking in tongues, you are telling your mind, what is God saying? Because don't forget, tongues edifies you. But when you interpret your tongues, who is edified? So say it, who is edified? The church. The church. Tongues edifies you. So I can go and, I gave this illustration in church. Let me give it again. Bro, well, you do it again. Yeah, because that Judith, she probably will not be fluent. More you come. And, amen. Glory to God. All right. So, Broadwell is going to tell Sister Moyo a story, but he's going to do it in his own language. Where's the microphone? Just give me one. You understand Igbo well? Who understands French here? Nobody. Okay. All right. Don't just say anything. She cannot understand anything. She grew up in Ibadan. She cannot understand it. You don't have much Igbo people in Ibadan. Oh, yeah.
He will want to walk up in his own land.
That's already. What did he say? If they ask you to even say the same words, you cannot. Right? Go have your say. And that's what it looks like when you speak with tongues. When you speak with tongues, it edifies you. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 14. I've seen people have said, why would you, this church, you just speak in tongues. Okay, Heal all day. Anything prayer. The pastor will come to you. We expect that one to do. That one to say, speak in tongues. What's happening? 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 13. Let him that speak in tongues, let him pray. The word pray there is to desire. Let him desire that he may interpret. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. Say, my spirit prays. So, you understand that now? When I'm praying in tongues, my spirit is praying. But my understanding is unfruitful. So I say, my tongues, I don't understand it. That's the point. The day you understand your tongues, maybe you are speaking Egba. The day you understand your tongues, it's no more supernatural. It's no longer supernatural. The more gibberish it sounds, the more supernatural. Amen. The more gibberish it sounds. I used to have one brother like that. His tongues makes me speak in tongues. You know folks like that? When you hear them speak in tongues, you want to speak in tongues. I remember there was a day I was praying at altar 36. That was 2014, 15. It's at Lutz. I was in school in there. And I was praying and you know, I was already getting tired. It was about 3 o'clock in the midnight. I was already getting tired. And this brother was just trolling. He was just coming. And I just said, but the pombra, pombra. No, I did not get it well. But I remember I said, pro. I said, my own tongue does not sound like, it has not sounded like this. Am I tired? No, I was tired. And so, by just hearing him pray, I wanted to pray. Amen. But you know, what he was doing is edifying himself. Whatever he was saying does not affect me. In verse 2. Let's read verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 4. He that speaks in tongues edifies who? That is, the word edify means to build up. Oikodomio. To build up. He edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies. Prophecy means I will now not focus on myself. I'm speaking in tongues, then I will interpret my tongues so that everybody can understand. So, what Orwell did the other time, imagine that goes a step further. Then says, what I was saying is, that makes sense? What I was saying is this and this and this. Guess who is not just benefiting? Not only him, every one of us here will benefit from what he has just said. That makes sense? Because now, he has interpreted it. So, tongues edifies you. Tongues builds you up. Prophecy, which is tongues and interpretation, builds everyone around you that hears you. Go back to verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, the word unknown is italicized, so I just skipped it. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Can we read verse 15 to verse 18 together, everybody? What is it then? I'll pray with the spirit. I'll sing with the spirit. For thou verily give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God. I speak in tongues. This is Paul. So in case you want to go against tongues, and you think he's not talking about tongues, he says, wait, let's first settle down. I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen. Who is bold to say that yet? I can try. Amen. I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen. Amen. When you speak with tongues, it edifies you. But we can go a step further when we get to Christian meetings. We now gather so that not just you are getting better, someone beside you is getting better. So when you come to Christian meetings, the focus is not just you. Your first assignment is to be a blessing. Then second is to be blessed. Let me say it again. Your first assignment is to what? Is to be a blessing. That means someone will get better because you are here. Someone will get clarity. Someone will get comforted because you are seated here. Then the second one is that you also will now get comforted. You also will now get better. How do we get better? By tongues and interpretation. Verse 26. How is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a tongue, an interpretation, a doctrine, a tongue as a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done to edifying. If any man, please observe what I'm about to say. If any man speaks in tongues, let it be by two or by three. And by that course, let one interpret. Again, I have to explain this. When you say let it be by two or by three, it's not by three persons. Let it be when you speak in tongues. Let it be by two or by three of the other gifts. And let one out of the two or three be an interpretation. That makes sense now. When you speak with tongues, let it now in the church meeting, let it be accompanied by two. And out of the two, one must be interpretation. So what will it do? Let me give you an example. You speak with tongues. You say one of the two must be interpretation, Abi. You interpret it, and by interpretation, you now have a psalm. That is by two. That makes sense. The two is the interpretation and the psalm. The psalm now gives direction and instruction by three. The direction and instruction now points to healing by four. Amen. Who wants me to come again? If you speak with tongues, like we have done tonight, right? He says, in a believer's meeting, let it be by two or by three, and by that course, let one of the two or three interpret. So we already have tongues. Then we'll have two more of the gifts of the Holy Ghost to it. That makes sense? Or three. He says, out of the two or three, one must be interpretation. So you get that now. Because I've seen people think it's two or three people. No. There's nowhere in the Bible where someone speaks in tongues and another person will come and interpret. We taught tongues and interpretation for about 12 to 13 hours. You can lay your hands on it, please. There's nowhere in the entire Bible. If I have interpretation of tongues as a teaching on its own, about 6 hours. So I speak in tongues. What is the rule? Let it be by 2 or 3. So I just explained to you how it can be by 2 or 3, even 4, right? So by 2, I interpret, that's already 1, remain 1. The interpretation we now give what? Is it prophecy? Is it a word of knowledge? You know, your tongues and interpretation can now lead to a word of knowledge, right? So, Mepratus and the pick of the sea, my profile again, and then I interpret it, and that interpretation is a word of knowledge. That's by 2. If that word of knowledge now gives an instruction, a doctrine, if the doctrine is going to point you to healing or the gift of faith, you get what I'm saying now? So, that is verse 1 now, 27, yeah? Huh? So, you understand verse 27 now? Let it be because by 2 or 3, let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak unto himself and to God. If there is no interpretation, not that there's an interpreter. If there's no interpretation, if you would not interpret these tongues, then keep quiet. Keep quiet is a relative term because it says let him speak to God. That means you are not fully going to just say, I don't go get interpretation. Nah. He says, you ask me. When there's no interpretation, like I said, sometimes the mind is a slow learner. It's not catching up. There's no interpretation. He said, you are now going to just keep to yourself. Speak to himself and to God by tongues. Let the prophets speak 2 or 3 and let the other discern. Let the prophets speak 2 or 3. Again, the 2 or 3 are gifts, right? Let the other discern. That's the word judge. Krino. K-R-I-N-O. Or diakrino. If anything be revealed to another person that is sitting by, as we gather in fours, in 5, someone is speaking by 2 or 3. Let other people are just sitting down to judge, right? Judge does not mean... What's this one saying? No. Judge means you are taking notes. You are taking mental notes. You are taking... You are receiving what he's doing. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I've thought this before. I'll go by it maybe sometimes later, maybe tomorrow. So as the prophet is speaking by 2 or 3 of the gifts, the others are quiet. He says, if someone has something to say, don't tell the other person to give shots. Don't say, amen. Amen. It's enough. I want to say my own. No. He says, if anybody that is sitting by has something, let him first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Amen. And the spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophet. That means there is nothing you are doing by the spirit that you don't have a control over. I told you before, I was ministering somewhere and someone was running about. I said, amen, amen, amen. Let's come together. And she was still shouting about, hey, the spirit. I said, take her out. Get out. And then she now keep quiet. Oh, you can hear me. If you want to know that I can hear you, bring gun. I said, as you are in the spirit like that, as you have carried spirit. I know you have carried spirit, but your last words, please. Eli, Eli. Eli, Eli, Lewi. Nah. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. The activities of the spirit is within our control. That's not a confession. You can decide. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Start it. Increase your volume. Now stop. You see that? There is nothing in it. See, whatever you cannot control is not from God. God has put man in a purview. He has put in the purview of man control. Control of the things. That's why a believer, which is not proper, right? A believer can decide not to yield to the spirit of God. Can decide not to walk in love.
And say, I will not forgive you. Even though the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Romans 5:5. And he said, I will not forgive you. Why? Because it's in his purview to control it. It's only the devil that gives things that you cannot control. Whatever you cannot control is not from God. It's a monster. Amen. Amen. That's where addictions come from. Whatever you cannot control, it's not from God. So the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. So as we minister one with another tonight, don't forget, we already have some code rules, right? Some ground rules. Tongues, bass, right? That's the bass. Everybody must have tongues, right? Then it says, tongues must be accompanied with what? Based on two or three. Right? The two or three. One must be good. Then it says, after that, what's the other rule? If you don't have an interpretation yet, keep quiet. And we said the quiet is relative, it's subjective. Because you are not actually quiet. You are talking to yourself and talking to God. By quiet, it means don't talk, don't say anything. Don't now go to someone in your group and say, never be so. Sir, I said what I said. Libra to get by, son. He's looking at you and saying, ah, what did I do to this brother? you keep quiet. Keep quiet means you're not talking to someone, you're talking to yourself and to God. With thongs, the bass. Then the other rule, let the prophets are now those who have interpretation. Let them speak by two or three. That means when interpretation comes in, you explore the other options. I've told you there are streams. Amen. You have the word of knowledge. You have the word of wisdom. You have the sign of spirit. You see, from tongues, it can go anywhere. Hallelujah. It can take you to any room. Hallelujah. There are diversities of gifts. It's the same spirit. Then it says, if anything be revealed to anyone that sits by, the code is what? Hold your peace first. Let us prophesy one by one. Prophecy is what again? Tongues and interpretation. Yeah. Let us prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. The spirit of the prophet has read the prophet. For God is not the author of confusion. Does that make sense? That is, imagine everybody here is just saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I say, who has something to say? The father says, as someone is saying, father says, I say, the father did not say it. He did not say it. He said, God is not the other option. Let us speak one by one. Amen. So as we gather together, those are grand rules. Amen. Grand rules, one by one. In all the churches of the saints, verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted for them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, associate the Lord. Now, this is funny, because every man that is born of the Spirit can speak. I think we taught this already in tongues and interpretation, right? I also taught it in the church and ministry gifts. Again, this is not about tongues. That's not for this night. But women, can you speak in tongues? Have you spoken in tongues before? Have you interpreted before? Uh-huh. Male and female created them in him. Amen. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's no male or female. We are one in Christ. I've told you, it's all nations. Right? It's all nations. All nations means there's no male or female. Everyone. Alright. But we taught this before. It's a long explanation. Go to verse 36. Came the word of God out from you? He can't say, wait, he can't say the women should not even talk. Don't forget, he already says in verse 26, when you are gathered, everybody has something. About that, huh? Abi, Pastor Isaiah already said everyone. What is everyone? Everyone. Uh-huh. Does everyone include female? All right. So that should have taken care of verse 36 for you, or verse 35. So verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or to be spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write to you that he commandments over. Let him acknowledge these grand rules. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. and forbid not to speak with tongues. Someone that said forbid not to speak in tongues cannot tell you that women should not speak with tongues. How about that?
Huh?
He said, "For don't stop speaking in tongues. Desire to prophesy." Say, "I desire." He said, "Desire to prophesy. Don't stop speaking in tongues." That word forbid. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. What will it mean to do these things decently and in order? To speak with tongues and do it by two and three. Decently and in order is not arrangement. It is our attitude to the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's saying, how are things done decently and in order? When I speak with tongues, I must interpret. That's the decently and in order. In a Christian meeting, how are things done decently and in order? When I cannot interpret my tongues yet, what do? I keep talking to God in tongues. I'm doing things decently and in order. How am I doing things decently and in order? When I have something to say and someone is still talking, what do? I hold my peace. Decently and in order. Does that make sense? So it's not about organization. Hallelujah. It's about believers' meetings. Tonight, I have access. You have seen that, right? Right? I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That is for the man in Christ. We have access by the Spirit of the Lord. We can know things supernaturally. We can hear things supernaturally. See, we must not just be ordinary people. Just go to church and you come back. Like I said earlier, when I started teaching, God intends for us to live supernaturally. And that's what we're going to do. We are going to live supernaturally. Even the epistles, even the Bible, we had men that knew things supernaturally. Then I can have it. If we had people that saw things supernaturally, then I can see. My faculties are sharpened. They are sensitized. I can know things. I can see things. I can hear things by the Spirit of God. How did I say you comport yourself in the Holy Ghost meeting? Keep talking, keep talking. Forbid not to speak with tongues. That's the decently and in order. Forbid not to speak with tongues. So as you are sitting like this, you are speaking in tongues. What did I call it in the afternoon? What are you doing? Eh? You are charging the battery. Have you? Uh-huh. Why? The mind is a slow learner. Tell some of my prayers. You know the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost are ours tonight. For the functioning, they are ours tonight. For the using, they are ours tonight. We have psalms. We have songs by the Spirit. We have revelation. We have doctrine. We have life-saving utterances. Sight and sounds by the Spirit. Sight and sounds by the Spirit. You will see things that no man ever showed you. You will know things that no man ever told you. You will say things by the Spirit of God. And it will comfort another person. It will bless another person. It will make their lives better. It will make their ministries better. You know, after this meeting, you'll be a better minister of the gospel. You'll be a better minister of the gospel. You'll be sharpened. You'll be blessed.